Parsha's Toldos has 106 psukim, one more pasuk than last week's parsha, and it does feel a little bit bigger. That's true because it's such a juicy parsha. All these parshas, they're packed. Okay, the parsha starts off Eilat ve'Eila Toldos Yitzchak ben Avraham. Avram holidus Yitzchak. Avram was blessed with the son Yitzchak, and Yitzchak and Rivka were struggling for a very long time. The first 20 years of their marriage. Imagine? You have to slow down when you read these parshios and make them real. For 20 years, Yitzchak and Rivka did not have children. If you know people who've struggled with infertility, and I definitely know some, 2 years is a long time. 5 years is an incredibly long time. 10 years, 20 years? For 20 years, Yitzchak and Rivka were struggling to have children. It's unbelievable. And then they were davening. Pasuk says they davened. Yitzchak Davin, Rivka Davin, each one stood in their corner. Rashi says, Zeh omid b'zav v'zo mispalel, v'zo omed this b'zav v'zo mispaleles. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds, V'yet harlo, Rashi says, Hashem responded to him and not her, because Yitzchak was the son of righteous people, Rivka was not. Interesting Rashi there to think about. Your tefillos can't be answered if your parents weren't holy. And then Pasuk Chav Beis, Vayisrotzu Abana Bekirba, finally she gets pregnant. And here's where we'll start with the Ramban. So if I'm just reviewing the Pesukim. Vayisrotzu Abana Bekirba, the children are struggling inside of her, they're kicking around. Vatomer, and she says, Imkein Lama Ze Anochi. She says, if so, so then Lama Ze Anochi. What was she asking? What was she saying? So Rashi understands Lama Ze Anochi. She was saying, so why did I daven so hard? If I have so much, she's complaining that she's in pain from pregnancy? Lama ze anochi? So why did I daven to get pregnant? Look at the Ramban. The Ramban starts by quoting Rashi. Im kein gadol tsar ha'ibor. Does everyone see where we are? Yes, Perech of Beis. Im kein gadol tsar ha'ibor. If such is the pain of pregnancy, Lama ze anochi mispalelas umisave al haherayon. So why did I daven so hard to get pregnant? Lashon Rashi. Chaver, does that Rashi make sense to you? You can be respectful of Rashi and still ask a question. Does that make sense to you? This poor woman waited 20 years to have a baby. She gets pregnant, and pregnancy is uncomfortable. Big chiddush, right? Rivka didn't know about that. And all of a sudden, the babies are kicking. Oh, why did I daven to get pregnant if the babies are kicking? Does that make sense to you? No? Yeah?
Why did you say, why did I daven so hard?
They both davened, just more simply. The pasuk says, the children are struggling inside of her. Yitzrotzu abanim bekirba. They're kicking around. So she says, if this is how it is, why did I daven so hard to get pregnant? It's strange, no?
Yeah, I mean, the question that I had was why, maybe it could be like that she was saying because like she was older now and like maybe it could have been like easier if she was younger, but it still doesn't really answer. Like,
the bottom line is she should be overjoyed that she's, okay, she's an older woman, it's a harder pregnancy, it's a high-risk pregnancy, she'll spend more time at the doctor, you know, getting things checked out, maybe she'll be on bed rest a bit, but... So of course, this is her dream to have a child. No, yeah.
I feel like it does make sense, just because very often when we're in like the highest point of pain, like the guy asks us, like, "Oh, we wish we were in this situation." Even if it's something that she wants us to tell her, she could be in a lot of pain right now.
Okay. So you're saying Rashi's just very—it's very human, right? Rashi's child is very human. In other words, as badly as she wanted the child, now that she's in pain, right? There's a part of her that just blurts out, like, why did I daven so much? The Ramban says, Einenu Nachon. Ramban doesn't like Rashi. Einenu Nachon. So he gives another pshat from Ibn Ezra. Rabbi Avram Amar, he quotes Ibn Ezra, let's see a little bit more inside, and we'll take some more comments. But Rabbi Avram Amar, Kishola es hanashim. She asked around, she went to ask other women, Im eira lahem kacha v'tomarna lo. She asked around, she said to her friends, her neighbors, is this like normal? Is it normal that I'm so nauseous? Is it normal that I'm so sick? Is it normal that I'm in so much pain? And our friend said, we also were pregnant. We understand kind of the challenge of carrying a child, but this is not normal. Vatomer im kain hadavar vahaminok. So she said, im kain, if this is so, if this is how it's supposed to normally be, again, if there's a normal threshold of pain that's expected in pregnancy, but mine is what? Off the charts. Lama ze anochi beheiraon mishuna. So she was saying to Hashem, after waiting 20 years, now you're giving me a difficult pregnancy. Bad enough I have to wait 20 years, now I have to have a really painful pregnancy. Okay, I think that makes a little more sense, Ibn Ezra. V'nei kosu chaser v'einenu sholim beferash hazeh. But the problem is, Ibn Ezra is adding a whole story that's not even explicit in the pasuk. Those words aren't in the pasuk. It doesn't say she asked around, and they told her that this is what normal pregnancy should feel like. And then she said, oh, well, im kain, if that's what my friends are telling me, then lama ze anochi, so why is my pregnancy so different? It's a nice pshat, it makes sense, but it doesn't fit well with the words. So it says the Ramban, I'll tell you what I think. V'anachon be'enai, a third pshat. Ki amra im kain yihye li, lama ze anochi ba'olam. What she was saying is, if this is how it's going to be, lama ze anochi ba'olam. What is she saying? Super intense. What is she saying? Why do I even exist? Halavai enani sha'amus o shalo hayisi. This pain is so unbearable, it would be better that I die or that I never was. She's in so much pain that she's saying, right? She's not regretting the pregnancy like Rashi says. Why did I daven so much if pregnancy is so... She's basically saying this is so abnormal, this is so crazy, I'm in so much pain. Lama ze anochi. Right? She's almost regretting her very existence. Katam kaasher lo hayisi ehayek. What's the pasuk in Iyov? Okay, so what do you do when you're in so much pain? If it's really as bad as the Ramban is describing, that she's saying, lama ze anochi, why am I? Why do I even exist? How will I possibly survive this, is what she's partially saying. So look at the next part of the pasuk. What do you do when you're in so much pain? Chaver, what do you do when you're in the most pain? You know what you do? There's only one person who can help you. It's not a person. It's Hashem. V'teilech lidroishas Hashem. She went to inquire of Hashem. Lashon Rashi. Lahagid ma yehe b'sofa. She went to find out what is going to be with this pregnancy. Is the baby going to survive? Am I going to survive? That's Rashi. Rashi says that she went to the Beis Medrash of Shem to find out what's going to be with her in the end. But says the Ramban, V'lo matzasi drisha es Hashem rak v'spala. But even more than her going to ask a big rabbi of her time, what's going to be with me? Drisha, the essence of drisha, of seeking, is what? Is turning to Hashem. Katam derashti es Hashem v'anani. I sought out Hashem, and Hashem replied to me. Drisha means davening. She went to daven. When you're really in a lot of pain and you feel like your friends can't help you and your parents can't help you and your therapist can't help you and your Rebbe can't help you, so what do? You turn to Hashem. Dirshuni v'chiyu. Like the pasuk says in Amos. Dirshuni, seek me and you'll live. But it means communicate with me. Talk to me, Hashem says. Chai ani em idaresh lachem. Many pasukim where the drisha, pasuk in Yechezkel, pasuk in Amos, pasuk in Tehillim, drisha means what? Drisha means talking to Hashem. Okay, and what does she find out? The pasuk says, "Vayomer Hashem la." Hashem says to her, "Shnei goyim bivitnech." Don't get nervous. You know why it's so chaotic inside of you? Because you're actually having twins. Hodiyah la shalot tifchad. He told her. Hashem responded, "Don't be nervous." Ki ba'avur shayisamu beres ta'omim yiyah ritzus hazeh bivitna. You know why it's so chaotic inside of you? Because you're not having normal pregnancy. You went around and asked people, is this normal for a pregnancy? For one child, I guess it's not normal. But for two, it's not so crazy. Ki derech nashimula. She was experiencing what one would experience if one was having twins. V'yitachin sheyomar od. But what Hashem was also saying to her, when Hashem said, Hashem didn't say you have two children inside you. Hashem said you have two nations inside you. That's like a very intense way to respond. Two nations inside of me? Two nations. I have two kids. And again, as we've seen in the Ramban, one of his major themes is Maisa Avos Simin Labanim. It's foreshadowing what's going to happen later. Everything that's happening is always predicting something that's going to happen on a grander scale later on. So since you have these two nations who hate each other, who are warring inside of you, Asu b'tchilas yitzirasa meriva. So Hashem made it that from their start, they're already fighting. From the tchilas yitzirasa, from their initial formation, remez l'mashia b'neim b'sof, hinting to what will be with them in the end, right, that there's going to be tremendous battles between the world of Yaakov and the world of Esav. Va'ata yanuchu v'simsa manoach v'hashket l'nafsha. And that should hopefully provide a little bit of menuchas ha'nefesh and should settle her mind. Now, however, there's a deep psychological insight we have to think about here for a second, because what did she just find out? She just found out that she's having twins. Okay, so that explains why the pregnancy is so intense. She found out that they're kicking a lot because they hate each other and they're going to become two great nations who are forever at war.
So now you can rest.
So now you can have Yishuv Adas. Now that you know that your kids are going to try to kill each other. But you know what? You know what you see from this? And it's very true for a lot of people. Not for everyone, but it's very true for a lot of people. Not knowing what's going on is scarier for many people than knowing what's going on and being intense. There are people when they know that there's something wrong with them, that they went to the doctor and they know that the doctor says you have something going on. Right? For many people, that period of waiting to find out what their diagnosis is much scarier than even finding out the diagnosis. Because at least, okay, once I have a diagnosis, okay, so now I have to come to terms with it. I have to figure out what to do. I have to seek a treatment. I have to dive into Hashem, obviously. At least now I know what we're talking about. The not knowing can be very, the not knowing of life can sometimes be very, very frightening. And you see that hinted to here, right? Hashem says back to her, don't worry. You just have two nations warring inside of you. Okay. Oh, so now I have Yishuv Adas. The other way to say it that's brought in some of the Svarim is that originally she thought she had one child. And we could turn this into a Hanukkah Torah. I'll turn it quickly into a Hanukkah Torah. She thought she had one child. Well, what does Rashi say? Let's remember what Rashi says. Rashi brings an interesting tradition. Rashi says that what? When she would walk past a place of Torah study, when she would walk past the Beis Medrash of Shem Ve'Ever, so it would kick. And when she would walk past the house of Avodah Zarah, the baby would kick. So initially, you know what made Rivka so concerned? You know why she was so distraught? She thought she was having one child that was attracted to both Kedusha and to Tumah. She thought she had one child who on the one hand was interested in Torah, on the other hand is interested in the Avodah Zarah. And that, for her, she said, to have a conflicted child like that, she said, that's terrifying. At least if you're off the derech, no, you're off the derech. And if you're from, no, you're from. But to spend your whole life living between two worlds, in some ways that's the worst. The classic example that they bring, that Tzaddikim bring of this, is a pasuk we find in Sefer Malachim. When Eliyahu is on Har Carmel, and he's having his epic showdown with the Nevi'ei Baal, and he says to the people assembled there, he says, pick a side. He says, Admasai, for how long are you going to straddle the fence? If you believe in Hashem, then believe in Hashem wholeheartedly. And if you believe in Baal, if you believe in this Avodah Zarah stuff, then go all in on it. So the Baalei Mussar asked, the Sfarim asked, what kind of way is that to talk? Isn't it better to be a little bit for Hashem and a little bit dabbling in Avodah Zarah on the side than to go, you know, hardcore Avodah Zarah? What did Eliyahu mean? He says to the people, Ad Masai Atem Poischim Al Shnei Si'ipim. How long are you going to be straddling the fence? Pick a team. Well, whose side are you on? Right? So you see from that, Eliyahu is encouraging idol worship? Obviously not. But what we see from that is on a certain level, at least if you know you're an idol worshiper, okay, so then you can face the facts of that one day and come to terms with it. But if you're non-committal, if you're not in any world, if you're stuck somewhere in between, in some ways that's the worst. And that's really what Hanukkah was. Hanukkah was the fight against what? Getting stuck in the middle. Right? The Greeks were saying, let's live, you know, the best of both worlds. You'll have your Torah wisdom, but you also have our Greek philosophy, and you'll have our obsession with physicality, right? The idolatry of the guf. Right? We'll worship the body. We'll worship physicality. We'll worship human intellect, and we'll also dabble in Torah. Misyavnim, Jews who are in both worlds. Right? The fight of Hanukkah is the fight of the purity of Torah. That's why the menorah had to be lit with what? With pure oil. Even though al pi halacha, you could probably use tamei oil to light the menorah, especially given the circumstances, it would have been fine. Meikar hadin would have been fine, but it would have been a very bidi'evid way to do things. And Jews are not meant to be bidi'evid Jews. So on a certain level, Rivka has more yishav adas finding out that she has warring nations inside of her than thinking that she has one child who, God forbid, is somewhere caught between the worlds. That's a very important thing for us to think about and trying to figure out who we want to be in the world. All right, let's go weiter. There's a lot to see. We got a lot to do here. Okay, let's go to Pasuk Chavches, Ki Tzayid Bepiv, the very next piece. So the Pesukim go on. It says the boys are born, and they're starting to grow up, and Rivka has a love for Yaakov, and Yitzchak has a love for Esav. Why? Ki Tzayid Bepiv. Yitzchak loved Esav. Why? Because he would eat what he would hunt. Ki Tzayid Bepiv. Because his hunting was in his mouth. What does that mean? What does that mean? So Rashi says Yitzchak loved Esav because he would hunt him with his words. Rashi says he would trap Yitzchak with his words. In other words, Esav pretended to be something that he was not. The Pashup shot is he loved Esav because he gave him good food. Ki tzayid bepiv. Esav always took care of his dad and he brought him delicious food. Strange. That's why he loves his son. Okay, let's see the Ramban. The Ramban says, Amru Mefarshim. The Mefarshim say, Ki yitain tzayid bepiv shel Yitzchak, o yavi v'yachsar hamaisa. What does it mean, ki tzayid bepiv? Read it, the Mefarshim, Ibn Ezra, the Radak, understand it as what? Ki, because yitain, or yavi tzayid bepiv. In other words, because hunting or trapped is in his mouth, what does that mean? So read it as if the Pasuk is saying, because he placed his hunting in his mouth. In other words, he fed his father. Okay, v'yachsar hamaisa. And again, it's missing a word here, but that's how to understand it. Okay, that's one pshat. V'chein la-mo'ed asher Shmuel, asher nasan Shmuel, when it says la-mo'ed asher Shmuel, to the time that Shmuel, what do you mean the time that Shmuel? The time asher nasan Shmuel, that Shmuel had established. Right? V'Hashem osi kegibur aritz, nasan osam osi, Hashem has made me a gibur charitz. So sometimes you have a phrase where you have to read the missing word into it. So ki tzayid bepiv means ki yitain tzayid bepiv, because he placed the food in his mouth. Okay. And therefore he loved him. V'yitochin lefarish, but let's try to explain. V'yahav Yitzchak as Esav, ba'avur ki bepiv shel Yitzchak tzayid tamid. He loved him so much, Yitzchak loved Esav so much, because in his mouth there was always his food, constantly fed his father. Kol hayom yis'ava le'achol es hatzayid, v'tamid hu bepiv. It's strange. Yitzchak had this like incredible appetite. He was always hungry, always in the mood for, you know, something, some meat. Lo yochal davar acher. He didn't eat anything else. This is all Yitzchak wanted to eat. Yitzchak was only interested in eating meat. Never had dairy. Not a dairy guy. Yeah, well, you have a pshat. Have a thought? Okay, that's what I was thinking also. That's what I thought you were thinking of, Shnei. All right, spoken like a good Lubavitcher. All right? That was good, Shnei. I wish I had a videotape of your eyes just lighting up just now. That was great. All right? Why was Yitzchak obsessed with basar? So Shneir says, because if milk is the world of chesed, so basar is the world of gvura, of midas adin. Right? Chesed is white. Chesed is flowing. Basar, when you cook it, what happens to it? It shrinks. Right? It's gvura. Ezo gibra hakovesh is Yitzchak. Yitzchak is tied down at the Akedah. Yitzchak never leaves Eretz Yisrael. Yitzchak is that internal world of gvura. Right? It's red or black, the color of meat. Right, it's a dark color, like Midas Adin, which is associated with red, as opposed to Chesed, which is associated with white. So very interesting. Right? So he loves Esav because Esav nourishes him in a way that, again, somehow his physical eating habits somehow reflect, I guess, the nature of his soul. Very interesting. And Esav was the one who knew how to hunt the best. So he loved his son because his son was helping him to, you know, to live the life that he wanted to live, to eat the food that he wanted to eat. Again, perhaps some type of spiritual reality to why you know, Yitzchak was obsessed with eating basar. Okay. But then the Ramban says something very important. That's all interesting. But then the Ramban says, Vahanachon be'enai, listen to this. Kihi melitza. This is a, I don't know, melitza, I guess a euphemism. I'm not sure the best way to translate it. You'll see what it means in a second. Yomar. Ki esav tzayid befi aviv. How did his father see him? How did his father reference him? How did his father speak about him? He called him tzayid. Esav was defined by his hunting. You know why? Because that's what he did with his life. He spent his life hunting. Yechana ha'ish b'mase l'tidiruso. A person received, yechana means like a kinoy, a nickname. The nickname of a person is in accordance with his most common behavior. V'kamohu, like we find in the Sefer Yirmiyah, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Shivtacha b'soch mirma. You're sitting with deceit. You're missing a word. You're sitting with people who are deceitful. Why are you calling the people deceit? Because when you act so dishonest, after a while, you become mirma. You're called mirma. When your whole life is hunting, then that's just how you're known. You're known as tzayid. You're known as the hunter. That becomes your essence. Or in a very positive way, look at David HaMelech. V'chein v'ani tefila. David HaMelech was so one with his davening that what? That he said, I am prayer. I have become prayer. That's a really important thing. We become defined by, whether we realize it or not, we become defined whether people call us by that name or not. Right? We start to take on the things that we do. We become one with the thing that we do. So if my whole life is hunting, if my whole life is sports, so that's going to define me. If my whole life is prayer, that's going to define me. If my whole life is dishonesty, so then people will eventually call me Mirma. V'chein Amru Bereishis Rabbah concludes the Ramban, and that's what we find in the Medrash. The whole day, everything that Esav did, on the one hand you could say, wow, look at the Kibbud Av. And Chazal say that, by the way. Chazal say Esav's Kibbud Av was incredible. He was obsessed with taking care of his father. Again, in a maybe an unusual way. But the Medrash says, Kufra tava lepume, kasa tava lepume. Whenever he would go out, whatever he would find, he would say, this is designated for my father. This good meat, kufra tava, this good meat, lepume, for his mouth. Kasa tava, kasa means like a coast. This good cup, he found a good bottle of wine, picked up a good bottle of schnapps. This is for lepume, this is for my father's mouth. Tzayid b'piv, he was always feeding his father, but it became a defining characteristic of him. When you call a person a Ben Torah, what are you saying about that person? Torah is my dad, Torah is my mom. Well, I guess the same way that I'm influenced by the home that I'm raised in. So when I'm a Ben Torah, that means my life has become influenced by Torah. My actions are a reflection of my relationship with Torah. Yeah, I'm a Ben Torah. I'm a byproduct. I'm a child of the Torah. That defines who I am. I become one with it. Yeah.
See, it's true. Also, a lot of Jews from Eastern Europe came, and their last names are things that they did.
Right. Right. Even that. Right. Even that practice of giving a person their last name. Right. Based on their profession. Right. Right. It defines. We have to be careful what we decide to, you know, label ourselves as. Right. What am I? Like the famous pasuk in Sefer Yonah. Right. When they ask Yonah, "Ma malachtecha?" What do you do professionally? What's his answer? Evi anoichi. I'm a Jew. I'm a professional Jew. He didn't say I'm a this, I'm a that. He said I'm a professional Jew. I'm an Eved Hashem. That's what I do for a living. So that's a powerful thing to answer that. It's not stam. You don't get that. It's not so simple to sign up for that. Yismach Moshe v'matnas chalto ki Eved neman karasalo. Moshe is called an Eved Hashem at the end of his life, and Moshe is so happy that he finally earned the title Eved Hashem. You don't just get to declare yourself an Eved Hashem. I mean, we do it every time we take out the Sefer Torah, right? Ana avda dekutshavicha. I'm an Eved Hashem. But it's aspirational. I want to be an Eved Hashem. Yeah. It's not that Yaakov didn't do any kibbut aveim. Esav was his father's right-hand man. Again, Al Pi Pnimi, as Schneer would tell you, that Yaakov and Avram were very similar in terms of their personality, right? And Yitzchak and Esav were very similar. So there was a certain love. Again, Yitzhak, again, you have to work through all the different shitas. You know, Rashi says he would trick him. He would lie to him. He would deceive him. He pretended to be from, and he wasn't. Right? He would put on his yarmulke and tzitzis when he came to visit his father. And then he would take it off afterwards, and he'd go out and do his thing, which was raping and pillaging and hunting and stealing and murdering. Right? So was Yitzhak fooled by Esau? Was he not fooled? You know, Rivka saw through it. Ramban says at the end of the parsha, we're not going to see an insider. Ramban says, Rivka knew from Hashem that Yaakov was supposed to get the brachos. Why didn't she just tell her husband, Yitzchak? She was scared to tell Yitzchak. She didn't want to tell him the truth about Esav. If Rivka really knew what was going on, why are they playing games? Why is Yaakov sneaking in dressed up in the garments of Esav? You know? I am Esav, your firstborn. They have to play these games. Just say what it is. Rivka should have said, my beloved husband, I know it's going to hurt for you to hear this, but I have to tell you the truth. Our son Esav is no good. He's deceiving you. He couldn't handle it. He's going to have a heart attack and die. Why didn't you tell him the truth? It's a significant question. Yeah?
No, I was just going to say that I think that Esav had the right aspect of Kibbutz Avim, looking to feed his father and looking to do that. So when you said Shem Torah, I thought like, if our father is like a Shem of the Torah and we're looking to like, feed that, like,
that's right.
What you learn from it.
That's right. There is such an idea of feeding Hashem. There is an idea. Tenu oz le'elokim, give strength to Hashem. But even that notion of feeding Hashem with Torah and mitzvahs, we do find such an idea in Pnimiya Satorah, feeding Hashem, sustaining Hashem.
The names also are
like, right, defining his attributes.
Done, like,
right.
Attributes.
That's right. What do you want your nickname to be? Yeah.
It kind of seems like Yitzchak clearly favors Esau.
He does. It's explicit in the pasuk. Yitzchak loved Esav. Rivka loved Yaakov. I mean, we learned that lesson the hard way in the next generation, right? With Yaakov and Yosef. But yeah, it's a strange thing. It is a strange thing. Yitzchak is explicit in the pasuk. V'yehav Yitzchak is Esav. V'rivka oheves is Yaakov. The Mefarshim point out, actually, it's very nice in this pasuk. Because what does it say? Yitzchak loved Esav because ... Ki tzayid b'piv. Why did Rivka love Yaakov? Doesn't say. Rivka oheves es Yaakov, period. A real love transcends anything that's being done. Right? The fact that Yitzchak loved Esav because already means that the love is a little bit lacking. But just look at the next Ramban also, because it's related, just the next couple of lines. Right? So what happens? He comes back from the field one day, he's starving, he's so thirsty, he's so hungry, and he turns to his brother Yaakov, and Esav says, Haliteini na min ha'adom ha'adom hazeh, ki ayef anochi. All right, give me some of that red stuff, because I'm so hungry. Alkein kerashamo Edom, and therefore he got the nickname Edom. All right, it was the red lentils that were being prepared. So says the Ramban, look at this, min ha'adom ha'adom hazeh, hayahatav shel mu'udam min ha'adashim shayu adumos. The dish was either red from the lentils, which they themselves are red. Okay, some lentils are red. Oh, shirichaku bidvaram adumim, or maybe they added some other ingredient. It was mixed with other ingredients that gave it a reddish appearance. I just found out we have a new chulin recipe in our home. We have a new chulin recipe. It's a big hit. My children decided that they went to someone's house and this person made a very white color, very light colored chulin. So they convinced my wife to start making it. So now it's like a big hit in our home. But I just found out this Shabbos. I said, how is the chulin usually so brown and like such a different color? So my wife said, because of the paprika. But I don't put that in anymore. So I guess that's what it was. Even if there are white lentil beans, right? I guess there were some red spices that were put in to give it a reddish or brownish appearance. Okay? Ve'esav lo yadamahu, and Esav didn't even know what it was. Esav didn't even know what it was. Ve'kara shemo Adom. He just said, give me that red stuff. Alkein kara shemo Edom. But then his nickname became Edom. We call Esav, we call Rome, we call the people who destroyed, that whole nation who destroyed Bayis Chaini, we call them Edom. Rome. We're still in it now. We're still in and out. This is the fourth Gullus that we're in now. It's called Gullus Edom. Christianity, Western culture. And what's its origin? It's very deep to think about this. What's the origin of this whole name, Edom? The fact that Esav, right, looked at something and just couldn't even define it. It was just so taiva driven. He couldn't even put words to it. He didn't even know what it was. I think that's very indicative of our, you know, of our world today, where people are so, I don't know, so enmeshed in taivas, you don't even know what you're doing anymore. People can't even define what it is anymore. Alkein Karashmo Edom. So he got the nickname Edom. But look at this. Who called him Edom? Alkein Karashmo Edom. Who called Esav Edom? So you'll say Yaakov. Maybe. Hashem. Maybe. Says the Ramban. Look at this. Ki lagu alav. Everyone. Lagu. They called him. They made fun. They mocked him. People would mock him. This nickname was a source of scorn for Esav. You know why? Shemachar bechora nichbedes ba'avur tavshil ma'at. He traded the honorable birthright for a little bit of food. Kisove vizolel yivaresh. Because he was a gluttonous person. And he traded away something meaningful for a bowl of soup. And he was ridiculed for that. Everyone mocked him for that. Everyone said, Edom, you know, that's the guy. That's the guy who was so addicted to his taivas, he couldn't even figure out what he was eating. He just knew he'd haliteini nam en adom adom azeh. The world mocked Esav for this. You have to think about this. You know, what are the nicknames that we're known by? Not love Dafka actual nicknames, but how do people see us? What would people say? Oh, this guy. You know what this guy's about? I know what this guy's about. He's really big on whatever. So decide. How do you want to be known? Yeah. 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 The world of Rome is the world of Esav. And the world of Islam is the world of Yishmael. And that's where we are today. Us, little Jewish people, caught in between the world of a lot of Muslims and a lot of Christians. But believing that Mashiach will arrive and restore the Beis HaMikdash Bekarov. Okay, friends, let's get to really the most famous, maybe the Ramban. There's a lot here. A lot of interesting things. Let's go to the question of the Avos and the Shmiras HaMitzvos, because that's always a fascinating topic. Okay, so let's do one more big Ramban. Perech Chavav Pasuk Hay. Jump ahead a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah. That you should. You shouldn't give people nicknames. I don't know if this is the source for that. The Gemara definitely has strong words against it. The Gemara says a person who calls people by a nickname could lose their olam haba over it. So it's definitely not a joke. It'd be pretty serious. But I don't know.
It's like if you call someone.
I mean, here Esav, you know, the Ramban is clearly leaning into it and saying, the Ramban is using this as an opportunity to take a swipe at Esav. Right? The fact that he's called Edom means it was so outlandish what he did. He traded away his, you know, his birthright for a bowl of soup. I mean, how crazy, you know, addicted to eating was he that he couldn't, you know? Pretty wild. It's a pretty wild idea. Okay, so let's take a look. Perech Avav Pasuk Hay. So Perech Avav begins, there was a famine in the land. There's a famine in the land, and Hashem says to Yitzchak, don't go down to Mitzrayim. I know you want to do what your father did. Your father, when he got to Eretz Yisrael and there was a famine in Parshas Lech Lecha, went down to Mitzrayim to get food. Don't do that. You stay here, and I'll take care of you. I'll make your descendants like the stars in the sky. I'll make you a great nation. And I'll do all of this, Pasukei, listen to this, Eka v'asher shama Avraham b'koli, because Avraham listened to my voice, v'yishmar mishmarti mitzvosai chukosai v'sarosai. And he kept my, v'yishmar mishmarti, he kept my restrictions, he kept mitzvosai, he kept my mitzvos, chukosai, he kept my statutes, v'torosai, and he kept my instructions. Avraham was a very firm guy. He did a lot of things. So what do all these things mean? So Rashi says, he quotes it here, the Ramban says, Lashon Rashi, Bikoli, Avram listened to my voice. Chavar, what would you say that is? Avram listening to Hashem's voice when he was tested. Kishin Asisi also. Right? When I tested Avram, when I challenged him, Lech Lecha Me'artzecha, or Lech Lecha Al Eretz Moriah, when I challenged Avram to do things for me, I put him to the test, Avram listened to my voice. Mishmarti, Avram also kept my restrictions. Gzeros Laharchaka. This refers to additional rules that are made, prohibitions that are made Laharchaka, to distance us from sin, such as Kegon Shnios La'arayos and Shvus L'Shabbos. Secondary restrictions that are put into place to prevent the person from getting involved with Arayos, certain second-degree relatives and things like that, who there's a prohibition upon, or Shvus L'Shabbos, or certain rabbinical restrictions on Shabbos. Again, why do we have rabbinical restrictions? To protect Shabbos. So Avram even kept the secondary things, the gezeros. Mitzvosai, Avram kept mitzvos. She'ilu lo nichtavu din hu she'yichasvu. Mitzvos refers to things that even if I didn't write them down, they should have been written. In other words, mitzvos refers to things you should have been able to figure out on your own. Logical laws, rational laws. Kigon gezel v'shvichas damim. Like theft and murder. Not only that, Avram kept chukosai, things that don't make sense. Dvarim she'yitzahara v'umma sa'olam ha'shivan aleyam. Things that the Yetzirah and the nations of the world respond to and say, what? Why do you guys do that weird stuff? Kigon achilas chazir. What's wrong with eating pork? Levishas shatnes. What's wrong with wearing linen and wool? She'ein tam bedavar. Ela ha'melech gozer chuko al avadav. Things that don't have an explanation, but we do it because the king has decreed it upon his servants. Avram kept that also. Visorosai. And not only that, lahavi torah sheba'al peh and halacha lamos nisinah. So Avram kept it all. He listened to Hashem when he tested him. He kept even dinam derabanan. He kept all of the rational laws. He kept the irrational chukim of the Torah. And he even understood Torah Sheva'al Peh and Halacha L'Moshe Mi'Sinai. Okay, pretty good. Now, says the Ramban, let's use this to talk about what did mitzvos look like for the Avos? Did all of the Avos keep the mitzvos? Which of the Avos has the most obvious question upon him?
Yaakov.
Why? Married two sisters. You can't marry two sisters. It's against the Torah. So did only Avram keep the Torah? Again, the pasuk says, because Avram did all these things, Yitzchak, I'll take care of you. So says the Ramban, let's talk about who else kept the Torah. V'im kein yeh kol zeh bono yaldas shaya Avram b'kayim u'misham resa Torah ad shelo nitna. So this whole Rashi, this whole approach of Chazal is built, banoi, is built upon the premise that Avram kept the entirety of the Torah before the Torah was ever given. That's what it says in the Gemara. Gemara in Yoma, Gemara in Mesachas Kedushin, end of Kedushin. Avram kept the whole Torah, kept everything. V'kach amru b'pasuk v'yitein lahem Yosef agalos. Chever, you know this Medrash. Right? This is also what Chazal say in the Medrash, that Yosef gave them wagons. Why wagons? Shepei reshimenu b'parshas egla arufa. Because the last sugya that Yosef was learning with his father Yaakov was what? Was egla arufa. So he sent a hint to his father through the agalos, through the wagons. Shaya osek b'torah, kishem shahayu avosav. He was sending a message to his father, Dad, don't worry, even though I've been in Mitzrayim for a long time, I'm still connected to the last topic we learned together. So you see that Yosef learned Torah with Yaakov. V'ad achshav lo nitna Torah. And all of this was before the Torah had been given. V'harei kosuv. And it says, v'yishmor mishmarti mitzosai chukosai v'sorosai. V'sham amru shayim mishamre afilu digduke Torah v'yimalami levanov v'chulo. And you see again that Avram Avinu, as we darshan each of these phrases, kept all the details of the Torah and he seemingly taught it to his children. You see Yaakov and Yosef learning the sugya of Egla Rufa. Okay. V'yesh lisho, but Mendi has akasha. And so does the Ramban. Im kein eich hekim Yaakov matseva. How could Yaakov have made a matseva? I remember we learned in the Mor of Hashemesh, the difference between the Mizbeach and a matseva. Hashem hates a matseva. So we worked to explain. We also worked on the Ramban. Right, at the end of Chumash Devarim, we were busy trying to figure out maybe it changed. It used to be permissible. Then it became not permissible. But the bottom line is, hold on. If the Avos kept the Torah before it was given, so then they should have kept it as it would be eventually given, which is matsevas are off limits. Can't make a single stone altar. More than that, nasa shtei achayot. How could he marry two sisters? How can it be that Yaakov married two sisters? This is Yaakov Avinu we're talking about. Ukadasar Boseinu Arba. And according to Chazal, ready for this one? He married four sisters. Spoiler alert, what does that mean?
Other two are sisters.
Apparently, there's an opinion in the Medrash that what? That all of them were Benos Lavan. Spoiler alert. Bilhah and Zilpah, Zilpah and Bilhah were also daughters of Lavan. Sisters of Rachel and Leah. Pretty wild, no? You've heard that one before. More than that. Amram Nasa Dodaso. Who's Amram?
Amram's father.
Moshe's father. Moshe Rabbeinu's father. Who did he marry? Dodaso. He married his aunt. Are you allowed to marry your aunt? No. An uncle can marry his niece, but a nephew cannot marry his aunt. So how could it be Moshe's parents? Moshe's parents? Amram, Moshe comes from an illegal marriage. There's a lot of deep Torah on that. Why Hashem made it that way? Why should Moshe Rabbeinu, right, come from a seemingly non-halachic place? Now again, it's all Kodeh Matan Torah. So on the one hand, you could say, don't worry about any of this. On the other hand, if we believe that Avram kept the Torah and he taught it to his children, and Yosef was learning Egla Rufa, so then we can start asking these questions. Moshe Rabbeinu Hekim Shtei Mesrei Matzeva. Moshe himself put up 12 Matzevos. V'heich Efshar Shiu Noagim Heter B'Torah V'Masha Oser Avram Aviyam Alatzo. So how could it be that they were lenient about things that Avram Avinu was stringent about? V'Kavalo Hashem Schar Al Davar. And Hashem, as we see in this pasuk, said, Avram, I'm so proud of you for keeping all these things. So what, the next generations just stopped keeping them? It says explicitly in the Torah, Hashem loved Avram because he taught his children to go in his ways. And yet now we're pointing out they didn't do like this, they didn't do like that, they didn't do like this, they didn't do like that. Uviyakov darshu sheshamer es haShabbos v'kavat tchumin. We have a medrash that says that Yaakov kept Shabbos. We have a medrash that says Yaakov was sensitive to the halachos of tchum Shabbos, of Erevin. So what's the pshat? V'efshar shiyazeh b'Shabbos v'pnei shehi shekula kechol haTorah kula. Maybe he was very stringent about Shabbos because Shabbos is equated with Chol haTorah kula. So now we're going to start picking and choosing which things he did keep and didn't keep. Shehi me'ida al ma'isa bereishis. Maybe Yaakov kept Shabbos because Shabbos. I mean, Shabbos is a declaration that I believe in God at all. God rested on the 7th day. Right? But maybe he didn't keep everything. Hold on 1 second. Ulai nomar, but perhaps you could say, Mishmarti shnios la'rayos shel b'nei Noach. Mitzvosai gezel shvichas damim. Chukosai aver menachai v'klayim shel harbos behema v'arkavas ilan. V'sorasai dinen v'yisurei avodazara she'elu kulan nitzav v'hen b'nei Noach. Says Ramban, maybe you could read this pasuk differently. Again, Rashi read the pasuk as we read, that Avram kept mamash everything. Dinim derabanan, Torah Shabbal Peh. But says the Ramban, whoa, hold on. Maybe we can read it differently. Maybe we could say, when he kept Mishmarti, maybe he kept Arayos the way Ben Noach has to keep Arayos. Maybe he kept Mitzvosai, logical things, Gezel and Shvichos Damim, that's Sheva Mitzvos B'nai Noach. Maybe when he kept Chukosai, what's the most, I guess, irrational of the Sheva Mitzvos B'nai Noach? Like another prohibition of Avram and Achai, or maybe mating different animals together, or grafting trees, okay? Torah Sai, he probably kept dinin. He had some type of court system and avodah zarah. So it could be, I could actually read this pasuk that says that Avram did all these things. Avram was such a frum Jew. I could really read it, says the Ramban. Again, Rashi didn't read it this way. But you could read it, Avram was such a frum ben Noach. And maybe Avram didn't keep. Again, Chazal say Avram kept the whole Torah. But the Ramban says, in pshat, you could say that every phrase in this pasuk is referring to a different aspect of the Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach, and maybe who Hashomer Va'oser Ratzon Boro Mishamer Afilu Dikdukin V'Chumros B'Mitzvos Shalahen. Maybe he kept the Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach L'Mahajer. Maybe Avram Avinu kept every detail of Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach in a very precise way, which, by the way, raises a fascinating discussion. To really keep the Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach, you could basically matir learning all of Torah. The Gemara says you're not allowed to teach Torah to a non-Jew. Not allowed to teach Torah to a non-Jew. But if I want to use Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach as the springboard to any sugya in Shas, I can. All right, so that's an interesting question. But Avram apparently says the Ramban, maybe Avram kept what Shemitz Bnei Noach in a very precise way, in a very detailed way. Ukamosha is cure, like the Gemara says, that Avodah Zarah shall Avram Avinu Arba Mea Pirkei Havas. Meseches Avodah Zarah of Avram Avinu had 500 prakim. Chavre, how many prakim are in our Meseches Avodah Zarah? Meseches Avodah Zarah, 5 prakim. Avram had 400 prakim. In other words, Avram learned the, that was his world, right? We don't deal with so much Avodah Zarah, so our Meseches Avodah Zarah is not so big. But Avram, that was his world. He studied it mamish be'ian. V'darshu b'meya sha'arim shemduda l'maisros ki ha'yua avos nedive amu l'seis maisros l'aniyim. When it says that the avos were generous in terms of giving tzedakah and giving maiser and things like that. Yeah, they were very generous people. They gave out to holy people at the time, right? To Shem and Aver, to Kohen Le'el Elyon. Anyone who was, a righteous person. So again, you can make a framework of them keeping certain things without saying that Avram literally, kept the 613 the way that we strive to do. V'nira Eli midas raboseinu shalomet Avram avinu asa Torah kula beruach hakodesh. But again, it seems from Chazal that Avram avinu in fact knew the entirety of the Torah with ruach hakodesh. V'osig ba uvetame mitzoseh v'sodoseh. He knew it and its reasons, and its secrets. Vishamar osakula kamisha enu mitzuva osa, and he kept the entirety of it, like a person who was what? Who's not commanded to do so, but does so nonetheless. Ushmiraso osa haya ba'aretz bilvad. Ready for this? But he only kept it in Eretz Yisrael. When a Jew comes to Eretz Yisrael, we held ourselves to a higher standard. We should. We're in the king's palace. It could be, listen to this, it could be that when we say that Avram kept every detail of the Torah, and maybe he passed that on to his children, he was only machmir to keep the whole Torah when he was in Eretz Yisrael. And therefore what? What question does this answer? Ready for this? V'yakov b'chutzal la'aretz nasa ha'achayos. Where did Yaakov marry sisters? Outside of Israel. He married them outside of Israel. V'chein Amram. Where did Amram, Moshe's father, marry his aunt? Outside of Israel. Ki ha-mitzvos mishpat Elohei ha-aretz hein. This is a big theme in the Ramban. A Jew keeping mitzvos in Eretz Yisrael is qualitatively different than a Jew keeping mitzvos in Chutz La'aretz. The tefillin that you put on this morning in Chutz La'aretz is not nearly as good as if you would have put on your tefillin in Eretz Yisrael. Why? It's not a mitzvah that's tluya ba'aretz. It's a different thing. I told you, I mentioned this. When Rav Huttner would go to Eretz Yisrael, he would if even he wore tefillin already that day, he'd put on tefillin again. The kaima mitzvah in Eretz Yisrael is a different thing. Afal pishu is harnu b'chovas haguf b'chol makom. Even though, again, the obligations of the body apply everywhere. It's not chovas ha'aretz. And yet, when a person does a mitzvah in Eretz Yisrael, it's a different thing. So it could be they were makbid on mitzvahs in Eretz Yisrael, dafka. Very interesting. Chazal already hinted to this secret. We'll come back to it, he says, in Mir Tzashem and other places. In terms of the question of building matzevos, that was something that was only created later, as we explained elsewhere. Right, Hashem originally liked the matzeva. It was ahuva bimeha avos, and then it became sanua, then it became despised. What about the fact that Chazal darshan that Yosef kept Shabbos in Mitzrayim? Again, maybe he kept Shabbos because it's shekula keneged kol ha-mitzvos, because Shabbos is an all-encompassing mitzvah. Why is Shabbos so all-encompassing? Lefishu eidus al chidush ha'olam, because Shabbos is testimony to the truth of a creator. V'haya osa kein lalamed esban av amunas v'rias ha'olam, and Yosef kept Shabbos to teach his children that there's a God. L'hotzi milibam kavanas v'rezara, v'deos ha-mitzrim v'zos kavanasam. And therefore he taught his children about Hashem, so that they would know that the Egyptian idolatry and the like is not what we believe. But the end of the story is actually very tragic if you think about it. Because think about Yaakov's return to Eretz Yisrael. When Yaakov's coming back to Eretz Yisrael, right, with his two wives that he married in Chutz La'aretz, well, now he has to what? Now he has to keep the halacha if he's coming back to Eretz Yisrael. So you know what that means. means he can't have two wives anymore. Which is why what? Which is why on his way back Rachel dies along the way. Right? Rachel dies, it's unsustainable in Eretz Yisrael. According to this approach, Yaakov married two wives because he was in Chutz La'aretz, but when he gets to Eretz Yisrael, unfortunately Rachel dies baderach. I mean, she's in Eretz Yisrael, but does that mean she's the second one? She's the first one, right? Right. Why should Rachel die as opposed to Leah? That's interesting. Someone has to die. All right, according to the Bill and Zilpah thing, you have to work that out. If you hold like Bill and Zilpah were actually part of the... Right. True. Also true. All right, let's hear some questions, comments. Stop, yeah. What about them? There's no prohibition of having more than one wife. There's no prohibition. Taking too many wives is a problem. And, right. But the concern here is Daf marrying sisters. Yeah. We translate that too. When you daven, I don't know. The Gemara says that davening in the place where you learn has a certain mila to it. I don't know. Is that because the Beis Medrash has a certain connection to being in Eretz Yisrael? I don't know. Could be. I don't know. Bederach Drush, you could say things like that. Maybe. Yeah. Yeah. What do you mean?
Yeah.
Then the fact that Esau's relay was such a bad person because he was doing murder and rape and all these things, then only because he was in Eretz Yisrael.
I mean, those things are bad outside of Eretz Yisrael also. This is not Gilui Arayos. I mean, yes, this is Gilui Arayos al pi the Torah.
Yeah. Have
that's different than the natural Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach things that, again, Rashi even uses the Lashon here, right? Mitzvosai are those things that even if it wasn't commanded, you should have known. And Esau was bad in those, and Yonam also.
Well, if you're saying to non-Jews and Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach, one of the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach,
I don't know, is that true? Shavuot Spinning Off, you can't marry two sisters? Is that the Gilui Arayos that's prohibited by Shavuot Spinning Off? I don't know if that's true. He did a lot of good. Chazal praised Esav as the ultimate model of Kibbutz Av. Again, at the same time, they're saying, some say, you know, the whole thing's a charade. I don't know. Tzarechiyam. But it's an interesting question to think about. What was, there's a whole sefer called Parshas Drachim, written on by the Mishnah Lamelech, written on this topic. You know, where the Avos have the status, the Shvatim have the status of Jews, of Bnei Noach, right? It has a lot to do with some of the fighting between Yosef and the brothers. Did they see themselves as Jews? Did they see themselves as Bnei Noach? Right? And how does that play out? Did they only keep mitzvah saseh? Did they keep mitzvah lo saseh? In Eretz Yisrael, outside of Eretz Yisrael. Again, a lot of interesting things. Okay, so Chavar, so we learned a lot of important lessons today. Just to review, what did we learn today? Just the chazar for a second. A little chazar is good. We learned about Rivka's pregnancy. Right? We learned that when you're in a lot of pain, that you feel like my life is not even worth it anymore, go talk to Hashem about it. Bring it to Hashem. And we learned that if a person doesn't know what's going on, in some ways, we learned from this Ramban that it's scarier than knowing that, than foreshadowing something, some animosity and fighting among one's children. We learned that a person is defined by their actions. Right, and Esav's called Tzayir, and he's called Edom because of his obsession with hunting and his obsession with food. And then we learned this interesting discussion about the status of the avos when it comes to keeping Torah and mitzvahs. Okay. There's a lot more, as always. But these are some highlights.